is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. We're on here in KCNR 1460. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR1460.com. It's 7:06 and 35 seconds. And we're joined today by Bad Bob. People said, hey, how did Bad Bob get his name? And I said, it's because I treat Bob very badly at times.
Very badly.
Very bad. Bob, turn on her microphone.
There we go.
See, there's another reason I treat
Bob badly. Thank
Somebody tampered with the knob.
Well, that's because we had an interview with Meg Whitman last night, and we're going to be playing that a little bit later.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact,
it
was a lot of fun. As a matter of fact, she will be here today. Carl and I will be greeting her along with many of you North State fans or people who really just want to find out, meet her. You get to meet her up close. There will be a barbecue afterwards that is provided by C.R. Gibbs, so we're going to be making that announcement through the day. But she did call us last night. We had a wonderful conversation, and we're going to be playing for that, as Carl said, in just a moment.
Yeah, you know, when she comes today, you know, she's going to be there. It starts at 4:30 today at the Air Shasta Hangar at the north end of the airport. And but they're looking to they need RSVPs. They would like to have RSVPs, let me put it that way. They will, you know, if everybody shows up, they'll be happy. They just want to make sure everybody has, you know, they have enough food for the barbecue. But you can call at 1-877-595-1163, and we'll be giving that again a few times. Meg Whitman said is that she's not going to talk for a very long time because she wants to leave it open for questions, and then she's staying around for the barbecue
to meet and greet.
And meet and greet, and she will that way you can get up close and ask her questions and not try to figure it out from a 30-second soundbite what a person thinks of.
And like Carl said, at 7:07, a chance of showers today, high of 76. So come out anyway. Bring your umbrellas. It's in the hangar, so I don't think there should be any problem with that. But
it may not rain.
A 30% chance of showers.
There you go. Okay, day 45 of the oil spill. Diamond tip saw that they used to try and cut the oil pipe. Because the plan is they cut the oil pipe off where it's bent. Then they can put a new cap on it. Well, the diamond tip saw jammed inside the pipe. They finally got it out. Now they're planning on using a pair of scissors. Well, it's not scissors, it's like shears, 20 feet long, to try and cut through the pipe. And it's got to be cut really smooth so they can put the cap on so they don't have the leaks. But here's the big thing. It's still no help for Louisiana by the Obama Corps of Engineers. Yeah, that's right. Well, wait a minute, Bob, you're getting ready to say something.
There was on the news this morning an article that the berms have been approved. The artificial islands finally were approved after how many weeks?
45 days. Okay, well, then that was a late breaker then, because nothing that the governor of Louisiana was still out there, you know, pleading for help from Obama. However, you know, President Obama has been very busy, as we all know. Like last night, he was immersed in a gathering with Sir Paul McCartney of the Beatles. Well, he had to be there for that because Paul said he was going to sing Michelle, which he did, and everybody enjoyed that. In fact, the president sang along with Sir Paul McCartney of the Beatles. I'm sure that the people of Louisiana really enjoyed that show. They enjoyed that concert. Oh, yeah, they probably didn't see it because they were busy.
Can I just ask
wiping the oil out of their front doors.
I just need to ask a question about this.
Okay.
I mean, really, truly, from your perspective, at this time, because really, as we go every day, our country's becoming more and more in a crisis regarding this oil spill.
Yeah.
I just think it's really weird. Remember when, after 9/11, how they did a small scale-down version of the Academy Awards, and a lot of people just didn't do parties or didn't do a big award show because our country was just, you know, wow. It didn't seem appropriate. And although I'm a huge fan of Paul McCartney's, and I can understand, but why don't they just put all this partying stuff on hold?
Well, at least at the
White
House.
Why isn't he down there with his sleeves rolled up, helping, just immersing himself in this.
Well, you know, people will say is that it's not Obama's job, that there's nothing. And, you know, this is the sad part, is that the only people that can really do anything about it are BP, British Petroleum, because of that. However, is that he's been down there twice. I see what you're saying. You know, it just seems like, you know, you're having parties at the White House while the oyster beds in Louisiana, and stand by, oyster lovers, 3 of the 5 have been shut down. And the other 2 are getting ready to be. They're afraid that that it's going to be spreading. Now, Texas is still okay, but if you like oysters, plan on the cost of oysters going up.
Well, it's not even. It's the oysters. It's the shrimp. But it's the livelihood of so many. How many?
All the fishermen have stopped. All the fishing boats are back inside. They're not even going out of the marinas. You're absolutely right, hon.
And Pensacola, Florida, is now they're worried about those beautiful sugar white beaches being affected. And so it spreads.
Oh, it is. And, you know, and the thing about it is if they finally gave them permission after 45 days to put these berms up, now how much longer is it going to take? Meanwhile, the marshlands have been inundated with oil.
I don't think the people of Louisiana right now care about Paul McCartney singing Michelle at the White House.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it gets even better and better for the president, because now Canada's health care plan, their plan that, you know, that we have much of ours is like, they've run out of money. They're sending people to the United States for care. Hey, this is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly a news talk radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carla Lindebaugh right here on KCNR 1460. It is 7:15. Now let's go to the phones. Jay, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just listening to what you guys were saying a little bit ago. And, you know, perceptions are very important. I mean, we remember that Nero fiddled while Rome burned, that Marie Antoinette and the King of France had extravagant parties while the people of France suffered, and that the Romanovs were getting fresh flowers while the Russian people were suffering at the feet at the hands of the Germans. And it didn't work out good for any of those people. So, I mean, I'm not saying that things are going to get violent. I'm merely stating that history tells us that leaders who are not perceived to be empathetic to their people don't stay leaders very long.
Yeah, you know, and this thing is that, you know, Obama's been down there twice. You know, and I'll be the first one to say, what's he going to do, hop into a scuba suit and go down there and do something? I don't think so. But at least he can be, you know, maybe, you know, if nothing else, he can at least convey that the rest of this country cares about what's happening in Louisiana and that everything is being done. And then I would really want to find out, I'd really like to hear what he says about why it took 45 days for the Corps of Engineers to okay some berms there to rescue Louisiana.
It's one of those deals where, frankly, you know, you're the president. Anything goes wrong, whether it's your fault or not, it's your fault.
Well, that's it. But
he's going to take credit for things that weren't his fault either. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Well, that's what happens when you're in charge. You get all the credit, but you get all the blame too.
So anyway, yeah. I find it interesting, but I mean, I think it all really comes down to perception.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
If you're perceived to care, no matter how bad things are, people will forgive you. If they're not perceived to care, no matter how good things are, people will hate you.
Well, you know, I think what they should have done at the same time they were showing him singing along with Paul McCartney to Michelle, it should have been a split screen. On the other side of the screen should have been oil pouring out of the bottom of the ocean. I think, you know, then that kind of puts things in perspective.
When people losing
got the oil slick blues.
Yeah. Okay, Jay, thanks a lot.
Hey, Jay, thanks for your input. Yeah.
You bet. Hey, you know, now we're going to, we interviewed Meg Whitman yesterday, and we were going to play it, you know, this morning, so, and we were saying things like, okay, we'll see you tonight, or that kind of thing, but we completely...
we got confused.
We got completely screwed up on
so
that
did
one.
She.
And so did she. So, but we asked her a few questions, and you can hear on some of the things she believes in, and especially on the illegal immigration. So, Bob, let's play it.
And welcome to our show, and of course, and thank you very much, Meg Whitman.
Thank you. Take care now.
You bet. Bye-bye. Okay, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindebaugh, that was our interview with Meg Whitman. We've kind of pushed things back a little bit here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have our guest, Bonnie and Jim. We're going to be talking about Miss Redding Rodeo, but also about America. Join us after these messages.
Hey.
Good morning, Redding. It's 7:31. It is June 3rd. So just remember, if you just heard that Meg Whitman interview, that means she's here today. That's right, today, 4:30 at the airport in the North Hangar, and it's a barbecue. We're going to be out there. It's going to be, there's going to be a live band and a barbecue, and this is your chance. You know what? We are all about staying informed. Just know. You know, where people are standing. Carl's sitting there laughing. This is KCNR 1460. This is Carl. And hello, Linda Bott. I can say something if I feel like it. I have
anything.
A right.
I don't say anything.
By the way, today, chance of showers, 30%, high 76. That's a husband-wife thing. You know how it is. What are you laughing about? Stop there. I can't.
Nope.
I'm going to ring your bell.
Okay, you ring my bell all the time. You know, before we introduce our guest, it's Bonnie Sharp who's here and her husband, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know about bell ringing.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I was just looking at the paper today. It just, you know, when you look at paper at the headlines, you ever look at the headlines and go, that's kind of a strange headline. Militants attack peace conference. And I just had a problem with that. You know, they're having a peace conference and the militants attack it. Oh, well. Anyway, it just doesn't seem right. Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be here.
And how are you?
Good.
And you were here to talk about
a couple of things.
Yeah.
Miss Redding Rodeo.
Yes.
2011, if you can believe that.
I can't believe that. How did it get to be 2011? The last time I looked up, it was 1984.
I know.
Me too. I was very impressed with Miss Hemingway.
Yeah, she did a wonderful job for us, and she will be a very good influence on our upcoming Miss Redding Rodeo, and she'll be there to support her and help her. So
what we're doing is we're accepting applications now, correct?
Correct, we are, because on August 14th, we will be selecting our new Miss Redding Rodeo 2011.
Wow. And from what I understand, you go through 2 or 3 days of, it's not just, you know, show up and look pretty with a cowboy hat. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into becoming Miss Rodeo. I'm sure some of our listeners aren't aware of what that is.
Well, yes. We have clinics for the girls about makeup, and then they also have to do the horsemanship, and they have to be very good horsewoman. I would say horsewoman.
Right.
Because that's part of the contest. And in the past, usually the gal that wins the horsemanship oftentimes becomes a queen because it is a very big requirement. But they judge the gals, we break it down three ways, and so now we've made them all even. We don't make horsemanship the most important thing, but it certainly is. So I would like young women to, if they're interested at all, to pick up an application. They're at several places, all the usual places, all the feed stores and Tractor Supply. Cottonwood Feed has them. We have a couple places, Crossroads and The Loft. That's two different places in Red Bluff. So we want to make it available to this area, women to come and apply for Mr.
Yeah, so mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and brother and sister, get out there. You've got that girl in the family that she just is a natural out there. She's a beauty. She looks good on a horse. And I tell you, Miss Hemingway, we saw her riding in the last. Of course, we were at the rodeo, of course, because we love rodeo. And we love the Redding Rodeo.
Oh, man,
and
so
you know,
cool.
The Asphalt Cowboys and the Redding Rodeo Association. You know, this is home. This town's home. But she was out there. What a great rider she was.
Yes.
And like Linda said, what a great representative she is.
See, I grew up in Pleasant Valley, which is right outside of Placerville, and you know, it was all about 4-H.
You had horses.
Had horses. I mean, I wasn't. You know, I left when I was in fifth grade, but still I remember 4-H and the rodeo, and I just love all that stuff. And my family's from Colorado and all that. But that's one of the reasons you're here. But we really put this time on the calendar today for something else that you're very involved in. And you know, Bonnie and Jim Sharp, you guys are you are the epitome of Americans, of what Americans stand for and what we hope that our country turns into being more American-minded. So we got to take a break here. Let's talk about that when we get back. Carl and Linda Bott here.
Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460.
Hi.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:40.
I don't know, but that was Brooks and Dunn.
Well, 38, really. 7:30.
That's all I know.
Okay.
Hey, they are one hot duo.
They just broke up.
I know. Oh. But you know what? Amicably. Yeah.
They did. You know, it's been, I think they were together for 20. They were not together as long as Alan Tipper Gore, though.
Oh!
But you know what? I bet if they break up that they make less money than Alan Tipper Gore. I bet Tipper, for having to spend 40 years with Al Gore. Yeah. Can you imagine how boring that is? I mean, okay, this has got nothing to do with politics. It really doesn't. I mean, I'm from Tennessee. I've known the Gore family. You know, in fact, I knew his daddy when he got kicked out because he was running at the same time as a governor named Hooker. So, and it said, and the bumper sticker said, I'm tired of being hooked and gored.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that sounds like something in Tennessee.
You know, yeah, well, it does. But anyway, but see, Al Gore to me is like, watching Al Gore speak is like watching the paint dry on that wall.
Oh, now
there.
Bless your heart.
And wait, it's got nothing to do with his accent. There's nothing wrong with a southern accent. It's just Al Gore. Tipper, you know, Tipper, I bet he's worth now with the Pulitzer, you know, the Nobel Prize, with the Emmy, the Oscar, the Heisman Trophy, you know, that he won, among other things. No, Heisman Trophy went to Obama. Anyway,
I don't
anyway,
know.
But anyway, I imagine that he's got to be worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Was that worth 40 years, Tipper? Okay, I'm just...
You know, there's a book in this, and probably a major appearance on Oprah.
Yeah, we were taken away, though.
All right, so now, we just went into complete diversion.
I think maybe we're on
a sugar high, because Bonnie Sharp brought in these incredible little mini sweet rolls, hot, right out of the oven, and trust me, you want to talk about, you know, the pigs coming to the trough.
Yeah.
Oink,
here
oink.
Here we were.
We were just snorting and loving it.
And Bad Bob became Sugar Bob. He's got it all over his face.
Okay, sorry. We had to...
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right, Good morning.
Let's get back to work here. Okay, Bonnie. Our next one, can we talk about Miss Red and Rodeo? We're going to talk about America here.
Yes, we are. God bless America.
God bless America.
In fact, that's the theme for this year's Reading Republican Women Americanism Dinner. This is something we have every year. And it's a week from today, only it's in the evening, 6:30, at the Red Lion. So mark down your calendar, June 9th. We can still take reservations, but we do need to get them in shortly.
This is called the Americanism Dinner.
Correct.
And why the title?
Because we want, well, Republican women naturally are big into celebrating America, and we like to call attention specifically to our wonderful country at this time of year. Of course, you know, June, there's Flag Day, et cetera, et cetera. So, and we just celebrated our veterans, and so we really have made this an annual thing. And we're featuring and focusing on youth this year, which is very exciting to us. We're having a young woman who is a freshman. She won all kinds of awards. The Lions have a essay contest every year, and she won. She's only a freshman, and they get an assignment. They have to write what they're told to write about, and it was on the health care. How do you think it will affect us and our nation? So she did that, and she won. She went clear up to... She didn't win the state award, but she went right to that point. And it was interesting. I have to tell you the story. She's a short little petite blonde, beautiful eyes, green eyes. And she went to Southern California where the final contest was, where she had to give her speech that she had written. And all the other folks she was with were either, they were not Caucasian, they were either black youngsters or Latinos or all. And so her mother said, "Here's my little blonde girl standing up there, and there's all these other people, and they're all big and tall, and she's little and petite." And she didn't win, of course, like I just said, but this gentleman, one of the judges, came up to her and he said, "You know, you would have won if you'd have given both sides." And she says, "Sir, I did my research, and this is my side." So we were very excited about having her. So she's one of our speakers. Then a gal who's does for the state. She's only 23 years old, and she is the advocate for Republican women up and down the state. We have 16,000, I'm sorry, Republican women in California, in Republican women clubs. And Allison Olson, she is our advocate, and she researches all the bills and keeps us on top of things so that we know what to vote for. So she's another one of our speakers.
More information when we come back after this break.
We're playing catch-up right now since we missed a break there with Meg Whitman.
We're talking about the Americanism dinner that's going to be held on June 9th. You might want to mark your calendars. We'll be right back with Bonnie and Jim Sharp. This is Carl and Linda Bott here. Good morning. This is KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Shasta.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, we're streaming at KCNR1460.com, and our phone number is here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest tobacco emporium in the North State. Joe and Shelley are great citizens of this wonderful part of the country. They support our community. They support our veterans. They have the finest coffee establishment there in Espresso Joe's. You can get the coffee you want or any type of drink you want at great prices. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We go there, and many of our friends also go there.
Currently 60 degrees out. There's going to be a 30% chance of showers today, high of 76. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. By the way, this Friday, that's tomorrow night, we start our summer music series. I'll be out there from 6 to 9 doing an evening of jazz with Bruce Kalin and Johnny Gonzalez and Lou White. And come on out. Make your reservations.
We're going to have a great time.
It's always fun. And we love Anselmo's. It's a great place to go and just kind of hang out. And we're going to have a wonderful night. There's future engagements will be Candace Lavolsi, and she's going to be doing a little evening of chamber music up there. And just head to our website at KCNR1460.com, and you'll see the music series. And that's going to be a fun thing. Today,
yeah.
At the airport, in case you're just tuning in.
Yeah, 4:30. Meg Whitman's going to be in at the Shasta. Shasta Air on the north end of the airport. There, it's going to start probably around 4:30. Free barbecue. You get a chance to meet Meg and talk to her. And it starts at 4:30 today, and we'll go to around 6:00. It'll be outside unless it's raining. Then it's inside the hangar.
It's called the north end of the airport, the north hangar or something. You'll see it. Actually, Jim Sharp will be there. You can't miss him. He's that tall, handsome man with a strikingly gray hair, and he's always wearing red, white, and blue. You know, it's Bonnie and Jim are always dressed in the most wonderful red. In fact, I think you probably guys should start your own catalog on American clothes. How to spot the people who are total patriots on the street.
Well, you know, it's also too, if you're driving your car, and it gives that glow from inside helps protect the car too from all this. Now, we're talking about the dinner you're having. And by the way, anybody that's that has this, we encourage people to get active in politics. And you may not, you may not be a Republican.
That's right.
But you need to get active. And if you're out there and you've got and if it's the Democrat Women's Party that's having a dinner, come by and see us too, because we want people to be active. You've got to be active in what's going on. We just can't keep standing by, my friends. We have got to get active. You've got to see what's going on. I mean, we haven't even gotten to the parts about what's happening in Canada right now with this health bill. It is coming apart in Canada, their health care system. They are sending people to the United States because they don't have enough health care practitioners up there. So they're paying hundreds of millions of dollars to send them down to the United States. They're imploding up there, and we are heading down that road. Did we need to fix parts of health care? Yes. Do we need to implode? No. I'm sorry, I just took your time, Bonnie.
That's all right.
All right, keep going.
Well, we're here talking about the Americanism Dinner, and Alice Garrity has joined us, and she's our chairman, and she has worked her you-know-what off getting this program together, and it's going to be so special. And what you mentioned is a good point, Carl, in that this program, like I said, is focusing on the youth, and it really, no matter what your political persuasion is, God bless America. We love this country, and that's what this program is all about, and anybody who would come would totally enjoy it. So, Alice, why don't you give him some more information? Basically, I just told him about the young lady that won the contest, just to give an example of some of our speakers, and I also mentioned Allison. So you go ahead, because you've worked so hard on this, and you need to talk about it.
Well, the focus is on youth, and how wonderful that is. I mean, they're our future. You know, we kind of made a mess out of things, if you ask me. So I'm looking to the youth. I love the youth. Raised six children. I certainly like youth. So anyway, we're very excited about focusing on youth. Okay. So anyway, we're very thrilled about focusing on youth. And the young lady that Bonnie mentioned is Ivory Rose, and she won the Lions Club contest here in town, and she went to Club Zone Regional District. So she's got her talk is on universal health care. How will it affect us? So that's going to be wonderful. We also have a speaker that's a nurse practitioner, and she's going to tell us about achieving her passion. And the Enterprise ROTC will be presenting the colors, and we've got the God Squad puppeteers coming. It's going to be very fun, very exciting, very up, very patriotic.
Very great. Red, white, and blue.
And now, when's it going to be again?
Wednesday, June 9th at the Red Lion.
Where do we get tickets? How much does it cost? All that good stuff.
Wow, we got tickets, $35 a person. And the meal choices are tri-tip, Jerusalem chicken, which is artichoke and mushroom. Sounds very good. And we also have a veggie primavera.
Okay. And where do they get their tickets from?
They can call either Alice or I.
No, not Alice. Alice is
Alice, that's right. She's going to her granddaughter's graduation.
I'm flying out at noon, so I'll miss Meg, but I saw her before, so...
Anyways, 241-8926, Bonnie Sharp, you can call me, and we'll take your reservation and have tickets at the door for you. So,
And then I also want to give Tammy's number.
Okay.
She is our treasurer, so her phone number is 243-3724, and you just call her, she'll put it down, we'll have the tickets waiting at the door, or she could deliver or whatever. We just want people there to enjoy our youth.
I think it sounds like a good time. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and that catches us up for this hour. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. It is 7:53. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and the Bot on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. The time is 7:56, and it is a great day.
In case you're just tuning in, it is currently 60 degrees. 30% chance of showers today. So if you're going to go out and see Meg Whitman at the airport, you might bring an umbrella, even though it's going to be at the hangar. You might want to join us out there. Carl and I are going to be emceeing. The Lou White Band's going to play. But even more important than that, you get to meet Meg Whitman up close and personal, and there will be a barbecue afterwards with C.R. Gibbs, and it's free. So we're going to give you a number after 8 o'clock that you're going to call and tell them, because they need a head count. They need your name, too. So... our guest today.
Hello, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Okay.
And Alice. Bonnie, okay. And Alice talking about the Americanism dinner on June 9th.
Right. And now, again, give us the phone numbers for people to be able to get a hold of you.
Okay. Mine is 241-8926.
And Tammy's is 243-3724. And also, we'd like to mention that you could stop by the Red Lion. Carol Owen, you know, is who you would want to talk to. And we would be sure she has some tickets, too.
Okay.
Now, let's just kind of encapsulate why Wales, you know, with all the things going on, why would somebody want to attend this dinner? Let's tell it what enlighten us and encourage people to get out there. Why? Go, Alice.
Well, I think it's the youth. I think because we're focusing on youth and their enthusiasm. I mean, I can't wait to hear Ivory's talk. I've talked to her on the phone. I've talked to her by email. You know, gotten acquainted that way. I'm just so impressed with... you know, who she is and what she's speaking. And then a friend of mine, Kelly, who has worked so hard to be a nurse practitioner, you know, to hear her story about how she kept on with her goal. And we also have Allison Olson coming. She graduated from Davis. She'll be talking about why I'm a Republican woman. And she is works for Republican Women out of California. She's our legislative advocate there. So she's young and she's fun and enthusiastic, and I think we need to listen to them, we need to be with them, we need to support them.
Well, we need to listen to, you know, our youth and the people, and when I say youth, you know, the 20s, 30s,
right.
You know, that they're, you know, they've got great ideas. You know, we had the young entrepreneurs on, and they have great ideas, you know, that were, you know, to help our city grow, and they're running into problems because of
I hate to use the term old think, but it's like, you know, we're very happy with what we have. It's not changing anything. Well, you know what? We need to change. Mm-hmm. You know, the politics needs to change where people can start coming together, the whole thing. Anyway, Bonnie, Alice, thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you for having us.
Our guest for the next hour will be Colonel Pete Stiglitz, who is running against Wally Herger for the Republican nomination for the United States Congress. And it's going to be an interesting segment here. If you've got questions for Colonel Pete, this is the time to ask him. Now, every one of our candidates, you know, Meg Whitman's coming up here, you know, if Steve Poizner was coming up, if it's Jerry Brown comes up, we want them all. We want the chance for everybody to meet all of our candidates. And when, you know, after the primaries, when the general election's coming, how great would that be to be able to talk to the candidates and ask them questions face-to-face, eye-to-eye? And so many times they are so hidden behind commercials. And we've got to be able to meet our reps.
Before we go to break quickly, Bob has just handed me, in fact, Bob, can you know what kind of time we're under, but it is really an important announcement.
Just a real quick note for those who like to recreate on the river. If you go fishing, you go rafting, go boating, the Sacramento River will be running at some of the highest flows over the last several years due to a large amount of snow melt coming into the reservoirs, which is a good thing, but they will be increasing the outflows, and this means water is going to be where it hasn't been for quite a while. Could be quite a risk if you're going to go fishing or boating on the Sacramento, especially around the Highway 44 bridge. Big hazard, so please be extra careful. That's all I got.
Okay. And they're talking about, for the first time in years, it's spilling over the top at Lake Shasta, too. This is Carl Underbot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bach, KCNR 1460. It's June 3rd. It is 8:05 and 30 seconds. You know, this is, you know, it's rolling toward the end of the week.
Yeah, we want to remind you there a 30% chance of showers today. If you're just tuning in, some of
that
you
said... That means a 70% chance it won't rain.
That's exactly
right.
We can
keep hoping.
Let's look at the high side of that. High today of 76. We are going to be at 4:30 down at the north part of the at the airport hangar there, where Meg Whitman is coming in, and we're going to be, you know, the cool thing is that if you want to know about somebody running for the governor position in the primaries, and you just don't know what you want to do, here's your chance to get to know somebody up close and personal, and she's hanging around afterwards to talk to you. So show up, and that leads us into our next guest. We're taking your calls, and you know, we feel like it's what we try to do here on Free Fire Radio, of course, is to bring on people who are running for office and feel like they have a purpose in doing so. So it's your chance to ask the hard questions.
You know, before we, our guest is Pete Stiglitz, and before we go into that, though, we were talking about something yesterday, and, you know, Pete, I know you're probably up on this, too, but we said that tomorrow at the Board of Supervisors meeting, there was going to be the representative from the Shasta Trinity Forest, Sharon Haywood, was going to be there to discuss with the Board of Supervisors the closing of all these trails in the Shasta Trinity Forest. Well, as it turns out, there may not be a representative from the Shasta Trinity Forest. Sharon Haywood will not be there. Will not be there because she isn't available. That's right, my friends. She's not available. And why isn't she available? Because she doesn't think the public meeting is a place to discuss their differences. So let's have a secret meeting, right? Let's have a secret meeting like the ones you had before where you closed off the trail, Sharon. Sharon, we have called your office several occasions to have you come on the show so we could get your side of it, or at least get your representative here. First time, it was like, I haven't been enough time on the job. I've only been there 6 months. Not you, Sharon, but your spokesman. So that's why you couldn't come on. The next time we called and explained, said, hey, we'd like to have Sharon come on our show to talk about, you know, why do we close for us? You know, if there's perfectly good reasons, we're not hearing it. Well, that phone call was never returned. So we've tried a couple of times. We'll keep trying out there. But, Sharon, the last time I looked, we're paying your salary, right? We're paying your salary, and you're closing down the forest, and you're not telling us why. The entire board of supervisors voted against that. That represents all of us in this county, Sharon. And if that's the case, at least you could do is respond. At least you could do is take it into account. At least you could do is have the guts to show up at a meeting and stand up there and say, this is why I did it. Well, this is what we get from government employees that collect their paycheck every 2 weeks, no matter what they do. And my question is this, is what are our representatives doing to get a hold of Sharon, knock on her door, and say, you want to explain this to my constituents? Well, I may be going off a little bit on this. I may be having, maybe I'm too hard on Ms. Haywood. And if I am, why don't you come on the show and tell me? What, honey?
No, I mean,
just
you
in
know,
shock here?
No, I'm not in shock at all. This is another situation, again, like, it's a really weird comparison, but it's like Obama and Paul McCartney and doing music at the White House when so much of our country is in distress right now with the oil spill.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
show up, be part of it, take on, just get the oil around your ankles, will ya? Please?
You know, the other thing,
I need you to do that
for
me.
You know, before the show's over today, we're going to give you a phone number to call over there to Shasta Trinity Force so that you can call over and say, hey, why isn't a representative showing up? Or maybe a representative is showing up there. Just let us know. I mean, it's, you know, in the paper it wasn't clear, but we know Sharon's not going to be there. So we're going to give you a phone number later on. Maybe you can just call and just say, hey, look, this affects our county. This affects our people. You know, at least you can do is show up.
In the room right now, we're going to take a break, but so we can come out fresh on the other side. Somebody that we very much admire, we're going to hear from him. You get to call and ask 605-4567 or email me, Linda, at KCNR 1460. It's Pete Stiglich right after these messages.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Botter. Phone lines here are 605-4567. The time is 8:13. Our guest is Colonel Pete Stiglich, and Colonel Pete Stiglich is running against Congressman Wally Herger
for the
Republican nomination to run for our U.S. House of Representatives. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
Well, that's kind of a daunting task when you took it on, Pete.
Somebody had to do it, and I'm not intimidated by these kinds of challenges, obviously, Carl.
How's it going so far?
Yeah, well, can I go back to that Forest Service issue here?
Absolutely.
I heard it's in the newspaper this morning. I haven't read it, but...
Well, she did offer... Okay, and let me be fair, because we try to be fair here, is that she did offer up an hour-long conference call, you know, which on June 4th, or for them to come to her office for a half a day or something like that. And I just want to make sure that we're, you know,
right.
that I'm fair
right.
on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, this issue's been building for a long time, and, you know, up in Siskiyou County... You know, they were one of the first to tackle this issue up there. In fact, I went to one of their first planning meetings. Off-road folks got together and were trying to put together a plan how they're going to fight this. And they're still fighting it. And in my travels up in Siskiyou, I talked to them how it was going. And they're very, very disappointed. They don't feel like anybody's listening, even though they're going through all the effort to get their plans out there and to fight this thing. I just don't feel like the government's listening to them. And a couple of weeks ago, you know, the Redding Tea Party folks did a little protest out in front of the Forest Department here, and I was there and sat in the meetings afterwards. This is really scary. You know, what it harkens back to me is why the heck is the federal government in possession of so much of our land anyway? And I've been reading a lot about that lately. Of course, most of the western states, the feds own probably 90% of the land in the western states. And it's not like that if you go back east. And I don't know why, where in the Constitution it actually says that the federal government has the right and the authority to be buying up all of this land and thinking that they can do a better job administering and taking care of and managing these lands better than the states would be able to do that. So, I mean, that's something I would certainly like to look at when I get into Congress, because I've got serious concerns why the feds have been taking over so much of our lands in the western part of the country in particular. And I would like somebody to show me in the Constitution where they're authorized to do that. And I would suggest to you the states could do a much better job managing those properties than the federal government.
Well, you know, You know, Pete, I would say that you're right. I agree with, okay, in premise with you on that. And then I look at what California legislature has done to us.
Well, now you're...
Okay, now... And I think, well, good, that probably means then that it would be like a turnstile at every park to get in, which they're getting ready to do anyway. But then they would just kind of like put it off limits just for because they can't agree on it. But you're right, right. We need to get the feds out of our business.
I think so.
So, yeah, this is, and again, this is something that affects, it doesn't affect, say, 90% of the people, the trails and things like this, but it affects us. And it's something else to cut back on any way that we have of recreation or of, for small businesses. A lot of small businesses around here, or some of the small business, of course, are ATVs. And the people that want to go out there and in off-road, they want to go out and go camping. And some of the rules they've put on this is just unbelievable. But this is just kind of local. Let's go back into this. When you decided to run, Pete, what was your reasoning behind this?
Well, I looked at Mr. Herger's record over 24 plus years, and I felt that we could do better here in the North State in terms of stronger leadership. There were a number of things that jumped right out at me, that actions and votes that Mr. Herger was involved with that I totally disagreed with, and most good conservatives disagreed with that. And I've highlighted those throughout the campaign period. I've highlighted those issues here on this show a number of times, and I'm ready to do it again. Obviously, the TARP bailout, $700 billion, Medicare Part D, prescription drug entitlement, that's $1 trillion over 10 years. None of that funded. That's all borrowed money from the Chinese, if you will, and that's all debt that we keep heaping on to our future generations. And it troubles me greatly that we've got politicians, elected leaders, that say one thing and then they turn around and do the other. I don't think Mr. Herger has any standing to be pointing fingers at the Democrats about nationalized health care and the costs associated with that, when in fact he participated in basically the same kind of effort when he passed Medicare Part D prescription drugs. That's a $1 trillion bill that's being passed on to our next generations. House Bill 3142, which granted amnesty, if you will, to illegals working in agriculture. He co-sponsored that bill. Fortunately, it didn't make it out of committee, but he was supporting that. It would have granted amnesty to any illegal alien in the country that was involved with agriculture. I read the entire bill, and it's clear exactly what it does, and I would encourage people to go look at that. Now, I don't know why a good conservative would have done that. Most good conservatives say, look, we're going to secure the border, find out who's in this country, and manage that border appropriately. Granting amnesty to a select group, i.e. the agricultural area, is not appropriate. It's not right. And it goes against all good rule of law in this country. And why, for heaven's sakes, would we single out agriculture for illegals to become legal, if you will, and we don't single out the ones that are in construction and service industry? So clearly I think he was catering to his those in the agricultural world, the power folks there that contribute money and compromise his integrity. I'm going to just call it like I see it, and I think that's the way most folks view it as well. So all of those reasons, I think he's compromised too much. I don't think he's shown the right kind of leadership, the strong leadership. As I travel, especially up in the north part of the state, up in Siskiyou and Trinity, those folks feel relatively abandoned by Mr. Herger. They never see him. They don't feel he's there fighting with them every step of the way. The Klamath River Dam removal is a really good example where he's Johnny come lately on that particular issue, and probably more because the elections are coming up and he needed to get up there and be visible. But up until recently, he hasn't really been engaged in that issue, which is a major issue up there in Siskiyou County. So, look, anybody who's been at something like Herger has for 24 years, you start to tire out, you start to get influenced by all the special lobbyists and whatnot in Washington, and I think it's time for change. And we can no longer afford to rubber stamp these incumbents, simply to hold on to power. We need good, honest folks who are willing to fight hard, give it everything they've got, and then move on. Move on to something else. I'm not a lifetime politician. Carl, I've announced that I'm only going to serve 3 terms, which is a total of 6 years if I'm elected. And I'm not taking a federal pension because I'm not in it for the money.
Well, that leads me to a question, because we were talking about if you have been in politics for a long time and what it takes to come up the ranks. Not what it takes, but when you do it, there are probably, just like many things in life, deals that you make with friends that you've acquired and created, political friends through the years, that you help me on this bill, I'll help you on that bill. Don't you think there's a lot of that goes on, Pete? And do you think coming in the first time that you're going to be that you're going to be up against butting heads and facing people who are just going to have walls up because you're the new kid on the block?
Yeah, well, I hear that argument a lot. You're a new kid on the block. Mr. Herger made that comment in a newspaper interview recently in the Anderson Valley, that I'll be a freshman, and, you're a freshman like you are a freshman in high school, and you don't get a lot of respect. And, to some degree, that's obviously true. But I think the mood of the country is people are fed up, are tired of it. I think politicians in Washington are starting to get that message. I will tell you, there is a group that I am now a member of. It's called the Conservative Freshman Caucus. This is a group of like-minded conservatives like me who have never run for office before. There's probably about 70 of us now that have signed up to this caucus. We support, we've never been elected before, and if we all get to Washington, we're going to be a caucus that's going to be a force to be reckoned with. We're for balancing the budget, securing the border, and limited government, those three major conservative issues. So when we go there as a force to be dealt with, not as individual freshmen who are new on the block.
Great. Okay.
This is Carl Lindebott. Our guest is Colonel Pete Stiglitz running for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Congress. We've got to take a quick break here, so join us after these messages.
I'm Les.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Lindebott here on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, or you can send an email to Linda at KCNR1460.com. Yeah, we are streaming. KCNR1460.com, and if you want to hear today's show or any of our shows, go to freefireradio.com, and we archive every one of these shows so you can hear them. All right. Colonel Pete.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, sometimes people will ask the question, you'd be a freshman, you've never won an election before, you didn't start out as county supervisor and work your way up and that sort of thing. I'd like to remind folks, I am 57 years old. I've served 26 years in the United States Air Force as I'm retiring as a colonel. Trust me, I've got a lot of experience leading and managing organizations, and I would suggest to you that here's a couple of examples. I checked the internet one time because I was kind of curious how many people are currently serving in Congress, that's the House or the Senate, that have never been elected to any other position before. And it was really interesting to find out that over 125 congressmen and women, House and Senate, never were elected to any other elected office. That was their first election, and they got elected to the Congress. 125 of them, and some names you might recognize, Senator Orrin Hatch out of Utah. When he ran for that position in the Senate, that was the first time he'd ever run for any office before. Representative David Dreyer here in California, and also Duncan Hunter, were Republicans, and first time they ever ran, and they got elected. I would suggest to you, we talk out of both sides of our mouth here sometimes. You look at what's going on in Sacramento, and we keep putting the incumbents back there, don't we? Don't we? It's always the same guys and gals back there, been there for years. And look at the mess we're in. And the same thing applies to what we see going on in Washington, D.C. We keep putting the same people there and keeping them there year after year. And at the same time, we complain that things are all screwed up in the United States today. And you gotta ask yourself, well, if you keep putting in the same folks all the time, you really expect anything to change? So I've come to a point in my life, the country the way it is today, that we really need some major changes, and I think we ought to take a chance on some new young blood. And I'm not unproven. I've been out there for, like I said, 26 years in the military and 3.5 years as a school teacher. So I bring a lot of experience, real world experience, to Washington, D.C.
Okay, let's go to the phones. John, you're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Good morning.
And Colonel Pete, how are you this morning?
Hi, John.
Hey, listen, first of all, I agree with you. I don't think seniority necessarily is the precursor to accomplishment. And I think that it's new blood is very essential. And in my business experiences, I found that about 10% of the workers, which were new people, were getting a majority of the work accomplished because they came in with fresh ideas and ways to do things. So I think it's probably a good thing for some turnover in personnel and particularly in our Congress. Now, that being said, my question, I'd like to know, Colonel, what your feelings are about the border situation and what we can do to protect it and what you can do if you go to Congress to do anything about it.
Yeah, great question. Good comments there. I've been real clear for a long time about my feelings concerning illegal immigration in this country. I've written about it when I was writing for the Red Bluff paper. Clearly, we have to secure our border. That's number one, and we need to do whatever that takes to secure that border. We obviously need to finish the fence line there. I think we need to make E-Verify a mandatory. Its use by employers to cross-check. Make sure folks are legally in the country. We need to take away incentives that encourage illegals to stay here. I'm against anchor baby birthright citizenship for illegals. I think that needs to be challenged in court and done away with. So those are all examples. I was absolutely disheartened when I heard the president was not going to meet with the governor of Arizona. Fortunately, I understand he's reversed that, and he'll be meeting with her today. Look, these states are doing everything they can. They can't count on the federal government because immigration has turned into a political football, and we need to stop it. We need to do what's right for America and right to protect the citizens of this country. And we need to stop taking advantage of these illegals, and I'm not supporting what they're doing, but I'm going to tell you it's disgraceful that we're taking advantage of their labor like we are in this country. We're better than that as a nation. So let's get together. Let's secure the border. Let's put in place a good, effective program that allows them to come to the country and work legally.
This is Carl and DeBott. We're taking a quick break here for the news, and join us on the other side with Colonel Pete Stiglitz. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. Good morning. It is 8:34. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. You can call, but they're all backed up right now. You can listen to us on KCNR1460.com. Let me give out a couple of phone numbers because we've had some phone calls to go out to Meg's Whitman's meeting out there at the airport today at the Air Shasta Hangar. The number, again, is 1-877-595-1163.
It's a rally.
Yeah, it's a rally.
It's not. It's a meeting. It's a rally. It's a meet and greet.
Okay, now, other people have called in wanting to know how you get a hold of the Sharon Haywood, who heads up the Shasta Trinity Force. Her phone number is 530-226-2520, 226-2520. And, of course, if you would just want to send a fax, it's 226-2485. You might want to just ask why Sharon does not want to meet with the Board of Supervisors in a public meeting because, you know, the last time I looked, National Forest was open to the public. So why wouldn't you want to have a public meeting? Okay, let's go back. John. Okay, John, let's finish up with yours because we have other people on the lines here.
Okay, we're going to make this kind of quick. Colonel, going back to the immigration issue.
Yes.
Do you feel we should seek actions against employers who knowingly employ and consequently encourage illegal immigrants?
I do. You know, Arizona did that a couple of years ago. If you knowingly hire an illegal in Arizona, the first time you lose your business license for 30 days. If you do it again knowingly, you can lose it permanently. Now, that's one thing to say, but you got to be careful you don't put too much of a burden on businesses. You have to give them the tools that they can use, like E-Verify, that they can go to and quickly check this thing, and then they've done what they need to do. But, I do. I think if they're knowingly taking advantage of the situation, they need to be penalized.
I agree with what you said. I think almost like a Carfax concept should be done about employment. But thinking outside the box for a minute, I'd like to ask you one more thing, and then I'll take the answer off air and let everybody else get a shot. Would you be in favor of charging back costs of health and social services to the country of origin and using the hammer on that as being the threat of elimination of favored trade status?
Yeah,
if they didn't.
You know, I don't have a real problem with that. I don't know how countries aren't going to pay it, probably, if we charge it back. But, you know, why not try?
Well, we have a hammer.
Yeah, the favored nation, most favored nation
status.
Yeah, if they have that, right.
Okay. All right. Hey, John, thank you so much for your phone call.
Have a good day.
All right. Bruce, you're on KCNR 1460.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello?
You're on, Bruce.
Hi, hello there, Pete.
How you doing, partner?
Well, we applaud you for running for this daunting task as that, and we do need change out there. And I've been rallying on Wally for the last 12 years on this illegal immigration issue, and all I have gotten so far is lip service. So I would suggest for the voters out there, check check Wally's record out, and I certainly have, and I've got letters from him here. Nothing's going to change with Wally because he's already got too many people giving. I think he got $320,000 last year from people in the service industries, and it's just got to the point where he is not going to make any changes. If you want changes, let's try Pete out. I'll take my answer on the air.
Well, I don't know. The answer is way to go, Bruce. I appreciate those comments, partner. You know, there's another issue I used to bring up. I don't so much anymore, and that was that Mr. Herger had voted against Tom Tancredo's amendment, which would have stopped federal funding to sanctuary cities. And I used to brief that in my campaign because the record shows that Herger voted against ending federal funding to sanctuary cities. And I am all for stopping federal funds going to any city that doesn't cooperate with the federal government as it relates to illegal immigration. You know, finally, though, the record shows I asked the question to Herger's campaign, you know, why did he vote against that? And the answer came back, and some of you read in the newspaper, because it was written up as an article, was that he made a mistake and pushed the wrong button. So he voted against that bill that Tancredo had proposed to stop federal funding to sanctuary cities. But apparently he did it by mistake. So I went back and asked him, are there any other mistakes or buttons that he pushed that I should be aware of? Because I've just got to go by what the record shows, and he voted against that bill. So I think we're in agreement. Bruce, thanks so much for your comments and encouragement.
Well, you know, we have offered Congressman Herger time. He's been on our show before several times. In fact, called us the first day when we were on the air. And we will have Congressman Herger on. Because we have anybody that's running for office, we believe anybody that is a viable candidate that's on the ballot should be here, should be heard, and you should be able to ask them questions.
Email just came in from a listener. I agree. We are tired of politics, special deals, attached bills, saying one thing and doing another. That's just the way it is. It's time for new blood.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, it's... this is the year. I mean, and people have just, you know... Okay, you know why everybody's so excited? Everybody goes, well, where were you people during the Bush administration? Well, the people were there. And the point is that you looked at what was going on with the wars and all that, and the horrendous spending that was going on, and it was in the middle of it, right? President Obama came in. We got to take a quick break, but President Obama came in under this hope change, this hopey changey thing.
Yeah.
And people believed it, and they believed that there was going to be a change in the way we did things. The only change is we're spending more money. We've voted into a health care bill, and I want to get to that when we get back, Pete, about the health care bill. And we've wanted things changing. Everything you're seeing in the papers, secret deals cut, don't run. We're going to give you a job, not just once, but twice. And everybody's going, oh, you know, the thing about it is, oh, that's what they do. That's the way it works. Well, damn it, it doesn't have to work like that. This is Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Shasta County.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott.
Currently 8:43 in the morning, and you know it's going to be 30% chance of showers today, high of 76. And you know what? We have Colonel Pete Stiglitz on with us this morning. And you know what? I think it, you know, complacency. Complacency is why we are where we are. And here's the reality. If you want to make a change, you got to show up. You got to vote. You've got to get active. You have to be informed. Please don't go and just click on a candidate you don't know anything about. And so what we're doing here at Free Fire Radio is we're bringing on the candidate so you can ask the questions. So get active. Call us, 605-4567, or email me, Linda at KCNR1460. We have about 15 minutes left with Pete Stiglitz, and now's your chance to really get to talk to the guy. Pete.
Yeah, hi.
Whoa.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you, I am not a politician. You guys know that. I'm a military guy. I love my country like everybody does, and I see room for improvement in Washington like I do in Sacramento as well. And, you know, so I'm putting myself out there. Financially and personally, you know, taking all the hard questions and spending a lot of time. In fact, the last 9 months I've been invested trying to get my message out there. And we are a grassroots campaign. We don't have any paid volunteers. They're all volunteers. Nobody's paid to do anything. You know what troubled me was, you know, during this campaign, we had asked Mr. Herger to debate me. Some of you probably know that. And the Bostonian Tea Party folks sent him an invite in February asking him if he would debate me in April. I accepted that debate right away. I'm not afraid. I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody and stand my ground and probably learn something along the way as well. And, you know, there was give and take back and forth, and it wasn't until the week before the debate that Mr. Herger's office came out finally with a final answer, and he said, we have a long-standing policy. We will not debate a fellow Republican. Well, they could have told that to the Bostonians way back in February, but they waited till April, a week before the debate. We did the debate anyway. It was myself, and I did the
two. Did you win?
I think I won. I think the votes were in my favor there.
You showed up, and that's the point.
And that's the point I was trying to make. And the Chico Women's League of Voters also asked him to debate me in Chico, and he refused to go there as well. And I showed up, and again, I debated myself, and I think I did pretty well there. So, I mean, that's what people want to see. I mean, why, for heaven's sakes, wouldn't he want to come and debate me? He's got 24 years of knowledge on all these issues, much more than I have, and he should not be intimidated by me at all. But I think it's something that the voters need to hear, and they need that opportunity. They're demanding that kind of accountability, that a candidate or somebody who's already there in office needs to be able to stand there and explain, why did he vote for TARP? Why did he vote for Medicare Part D? Why was he pushing all that debt onto our future generation? To answer those questions, those are hard questions, and I think that's probably why he didn't show up. But that's not good enough in my book. We got to change that. So anyway, I just throw that out there.
I just think, you know, curious, you know, with the fact that you've got 26 years of military experience, and, you know, of course, Carl with his many years in military, I think you guys are cut from the cloth that it's all about accountability.
It is
all about showing up. You have decided to create a mission. You are on a mission now.
Yeah, I am.
So, no, what's it? No, I always switch this up. No bars held, no holds barred. What is that?
No holds barred.
Okay. I never really kind of understood what that was, so I just make it up as I go. But you know what I mean.
It's all out.
And
you know what else, grab you anyway.
You know what else it is it's all about? And I hear this everywhere I go. It's all about America. What's good for America. You know, people don't even want to know what's good for their specific town or city or county. They want to know, are you going to do what's good for America finally? That's what we all need to start thinking about. What is good for America? Because if it's good for America, I will suggest to you it's going to be good for the North State. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, okay. I think what's happening on a global level or just a national level is it feels like under Obama and this new administration is that we are becoming, and it's not, there's nothing wrong with becoming being a world citizen. We all live on the planet. We all share the planet. I think we're all mindful of that. But there's something that's missing, I think, in these last few years, and that is the patriotism of really being proud to be an American and Arlington and the people who put their lives on the line and are currently putting their lives on the line for our country. These people that we should give thanks to on a regular basis, and for a president to go to Chicago or whatever he's doing and just speech to a different tune. And I don't know about you, but I find it extremely offensive.
This is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Ladies,
welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bot. I hope you're having a great day. It's 8:52. Our guest is Colonel Pete Stiglitz, who's running against Wally Herger for the congressional spot in the primary, so he can run. So he's going to be running against Jim Reed, I believe is his name. We've had Jim on before.
Nice guy.
For Congress this year. Okay, we've got like 3 or 4 minutes right here, Colonel Pete Stiglitz. Tell us what you want people to remember.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to be on the show again today. This is probably the last official function that I'll be participating in before the election. It's been a long 9 months. It's been fun. I got to meet a lot of people up and down the entire district. I think everybody knows the congressional district is 10 counties, from Siskiyou all the way down to Yolo County and everything in between. And a lot of really great people out there. They're really excited. They're really involved. You know that through all the discussion about tea parties up and down the North State. And these folks are demanding accountability. And I got to say, my message, wherever I could get it out, was well received. My honesty and my integrity and telling it like it is. And that's what people really want to see. They want to see somebody out there who's willing to roll up their sleeves and get involved, to listen to these folks, and somebody that they can really trust. That when I say something, I mean what I say. And I think that usually comes across pretty loud and clear whenever I'm speaking out there. So I think voters have to ask themselves as they vote, and probably many of them, your listeners, have already voted by mail, and of course, come Tuesday, there'll be others voting in the ballot box. But you have to ask themselves, are they satisfied with the kind of leadership that they've been getting from Mr. Herger and his office? If they think he's on top of all the issues, if they think he's out front on taking the lead role, charging hard ahead to protect our rights here in the state of California, then I guess I'd say, okay, fine, then maybe you need to vote for that man. If you think that he has stood tall and been honest about his position on a variety of conservative issues, we've listed some today. There are probably others that I haven't even uncovered. If you're okay with him putting your children into debt, like we've done with TARP bill and the Medicare Part D prescription drug, I think he's voted for unbalanced budgets over his career totaling some $5 trillion. You know, you don't hear about that stuff, but he's part of the problem, folks. He's not really part of the solution. But if you're okay with that, and you're okay with the kind of leadership he's providing, then I would suggest to you that's your right. You go vote for Wally Herger, and you put him back in there for another couple of years, and maybe he'll change. Maybe he'll continue to do the great job you think he's doing. I have a different opinion about that, obviously, so that's why I'm in this race. I think win or lose, you know, 9 June will come along, and I'll be fine. I really am. I want to serve my country and its citizens, and I'll do it in Washington or I'll do it some other way. So my life does not hinge on winning this election, folks. There's a lot of other things that the good Lord will point me in a direction to go and pursue. So I think in the final analysis, what I've done in my candidacy here, I've exposed some issues. I've tried to get the conversation going. I've tried to get it going with Mr. Herger, and it's some of it's been on radio, some of it's been in newspapers where I've tried to point out issues and engage in that conversation. So I think I've been a real value in the whole process here of democracy and what voting is all about, and I think we need to continue this. I'm a big believer in bringing new blood in to politics. It can no longer be just the inner circle of the Republican Party or the inner circle of the Democratic Party. That's what's gotten us into trouble, folks. They're selecting your candidates for you, and most people are troubled by that. So I'm encouraging young folks to come up, get involved, and don't be intimidated about these election processes. If you have a passion and a desire to go serve your country in any capacity, whether it's running for Congress or the U.S. Senate or for President of the United States, I say do it. Don't let anybody ever tell you you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you haven't got the right experience. If you think you have the passion for it, and it's what you believe in, and you think you can make things better for America, I say go for it, and you'll have my full support and endorsement. So I've put my country first for 26 years in the United States Air Force, and I will continue to put my country first if I'm elected to be the congressman for the North State. So thank you again, Carl, Linda, for all the time.
Well, thanks for coming on, Pete. And, you know, one of the things that we push is that incumbents need to be challenged. And I'll tell you why. Without a challenge, they don't have to do anything. They can be complacent. They can continue to do what they've done before. They don't even have to really explain why they're doing things. That's why for every elected office, there should be a challenger. There should be somebody there to make the other person at least tell why or to give the reasons or to give their vision. And when you don't do that, and we have some important positions this time, they're being run without, or they're running without any type of opposition. And I just find that interesting, I guess. Hey, you know, tomorrow our guests we're going to have on are going to be Carly Fiorina, who's running, of course, in a three-way runoff with Chuck DeVore and Tom Gamble to see who's going to run against a boxer. So she'll be on tomorrow, as will Damon Dunn, who is running for the Secretary of State, Republican nomination for Secretary of State. They'll be on, along with, we have got a couple other surprises there, too. We want to talk about tomorrow, and we want to spend some time. Mark Beecham, on his blog, had a great piece in there about a food co-op here in town. It's in danger of being of not becoming a reality because of all the fees. I recommend if you've got a computer, you go to Reading.com. You look at Mark Beecham's blog because it is really interesting. Why are we charging so many thousands of dollars to some place that to a business that wants to start? Why are we doing that? Why is it after the person that owns the building has spent thousands and thousands of dollars to bring it to where the city wants, are they being charged more? This is a real interesting this is a real interesting how this works. But the other thing, too, is why are they trying to kill business?
Quickly, before we leave, again, the Meg Whitman Barbecue. I just got an email. They're expecting about 300 people. But you've got to call 1-877-595-1163. That's 1-877-595-1163 to get your name on the roster to show up. It's free for the public, but they do want your name and count for you. C.R. Gibbs, it's a 4:30 out at the airport.
They're looking for numbers out there, and it's not like you're going to be sent a bunch of things. It's not like you're.
No.
Yeah, they just want to know who they're and how many people they can cook for. So don't think, they're going to take my name and do something with it. That's not what the point is. Okay, a couple other things that happened right before we close out the show. How much time we have here, Bob?
A little over a minute.
Okay, I want to give one other number again to the Shasta Trinity people, 226-2520. You might ask them why. That's Sharon Haywood. You might want to ask them why they don't want to have a meeting with the Shasta Board of Supervisors, Shasta County Board of Supervisors, to discuss something that affects so many of us. Again, that was supposed to be a meeting tomorrow at 9 o'clock. They're still having the meeting, by the way, the Board of Supervisors, and there may be somebody from the Shasta Trinity Force there. We can just hope so they can talk to us. Again, tomorrow we're having Carly Farino, Damon Dunn, and don't forget tomorrow night out at Anselmo's, Linda's Having is going to be out there with her jazz.
Doing some music.
That's
tomorrow night from 6 to 9. But thanks, Pete, again, for being our guest and informing us. We got to run, and we'll see you there at the airport, 4:30. Carl and I will be out there and say hello.
And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Reading.